Our second lesson is in Jonah 4. It is the entirety of the chapter. It picks up immediately after where we just left off in Jonah 3. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is this not what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And Jonah said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jonah is a prophetic book. It is not our typical prophetic book. A typical prophetic book has lots of prophecies, lots of God speaking, lots of "thus says the Lord's." There is not a single "thus says the Lord" in Jonah. What there is Jonah. There is an awful lot of Jonah. And if you caught the sermon title, he's still in the middle. Because Jonah is us in the middle of a faith journey. Jonah is someone who knows God. It comes up there at the start of chapter 4 that "I know that you are slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, mercifully ready to repent. That's why I didn't want to go talk to these people." He knows the character of God. And he's pretty comfortable when it applies to him, it sounds like. However, when he gets asked to apply it to those people over in Nineveh, there is a problem. A really, really big problem. My hunch is that as Lenita is giggling along with this, she is singing Veggie Tales in her head and has a soundtrack going. Jonah is more than willing to believe in the grace and love and forgiveness of God when it applies to him. He has a real problem when it applies to them. And in this story, there's a very concrete them. The Ninevites, the Assyrians, the terrors of the ancient Near East. Vicious, warlike, cruel, all of those things. And so what we have is a challenge for Jonah. He is thought well enough of by God that God says, "Hey, Jonah, I got a small task for you. Go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh and tell them who I am. Because you know who I am," is the subtext. And we hear that Jonah knows who God is in chapter 4. And so Jonah, being one of God's wonderfully docile people, just gets up and does exactly what God says. Right? God knows us better than that. We know our story better than that. Jonah gets up and he heads the exact opposite direction. We don't have an exact geographic location for Tarshish, But on maps and things, people guess it may be as far away as Spain. He's not just headed 5 miles down the road. He is headed to the other end of the known world to get away from what God wants him to do. And what's interesting, what's fascinating, is that Jonah is traveling so that he doesn't have to tell people about God. And yet he's on this boat, and there's a storm, and he falls asleep, and he is revealed to be the reason for the storm. And by the time it's done, the sailors on the ship are making offerings to the Lord of Israel, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who made the dry land and the seas. And they have tossed Jonah overboard. To this day, an unlucky sailor is known as a Jonah. And then Jonah gets swallowed by a very big fish. And he is in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And in another sermon, we'll talk about all the times that 3 days and three nights become important. And in the part that we didn't read, we get a very graphic description that the fish spews Jonah up on the dry land. And then chapter 3 does it so well. In the voice of a parent who has told you something many times, read the start of chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, and said, get up, go to Nineveh, and tell them what I told you to tell them. This time Jonah goes. But he's still not happy about it. He's still not happy about going to Nineveh. So Nineveh is a really big place. It's 3 days walk across, and my, there's that 3 days piece again. And so Jonah goes into town, and he gets about a day's way in. So he's pretty far into town. No easy escape route. And he proclaims that happiest of all messages designed to get the attention of people and make them want to convert. In 40 days, Nineveh is going to get destroyed. Suck it up, people. Now, I mean, that's a great message for evangelism, isn't it? 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Nothing else to the message. The people of Nineveh, however, hear something else in the message. And they repent. They put on sackcloth. Jonah at his very unhappiest as a prophet, has done what no other prophet and no pastor since then has been able to do, is get the people to listen to a message from God the first time and do something. So the people start repenting. They put on sackcloth, and it causes enough of a stir in this town of 120,000 that the king hears about it. And the king hears about it and issues a decree. The king puts on sackcloth and sits in ashes and says, nobody and nothing, no animal, is going to eat or drink. And we're going to sit here and hope that the Lord relents from what the Lord has planned for us. Now, man, that is what prophets hope for. That never happens with a prophet in Israel. You read the prophetic books about prophets sent to Israel, prophets sent to Judah, prophets sent to the people of God, and the people of God, they get it right for about 3 minutes, and then they go back to doing what they were doing. It never goes all the way to the top. It never gets resolved all the way down. And there's never any commitment to it. So Jonah has managed to do what no other prophet has ever managed to do, even with people who supposedly know the Lord God. So, of course, Jonah is excited and exuberant and ready to hang his picture up in the Hall of Fame of Prophets. No. Jonah turns into a three-year-old. God repents. God relents when he sees the people's repentance and says, I'm not going to destroy them. And Jonah storms out of the city. He storms out the east side of the city and he makes himself a little booth and he hunkers down, perhaps going off of his knowledge of how well the people of Israel follow up on their repentance. And he just kind of waits for the city to be destroyed. And in the meantime, he and God have a little conversation. He says, oh Lord, I knew this would happen when I was at home. I didn't need to come all the way out here to know that you are slow to anger, abounding with steadfast love, and ready to relent, to be merciful. I could have stayed at home. I didn't need to come here. I knew that you would do this. You can almost hear the subtext. And frankly, I'm really disappointed in you, Lord. God isn't done with Jonah yet. And at this point, we've really shifted the focus off of Nineveh. Nineveh isn't the point of the story as much as Jonah is. So Jonah is sitting there, essentially throwing a pity party and pouting. If it serves you well to imagine him on his belly on the ground, kicking and screaming, you can probably do that as well. And God creates this little bush that grows up to give him shade. And the Bible writer says this, and Jonah was very happy about the bush. And then the next day, the bush dies. It gets hot. There becomes a wind. And Jonah just looks around and says, well, I'm so unhappy, I might as well just die. And God looks at Jonah and says, are you right to be angry? Are you right to be mad about the bush? The bush that you didn't do anything for. You didn't plant it. You didn't tend it. You didn't grow it. It came in a day. It died in a day. And you expect me, the one that you said to the sailors, made heaven and earth, made the dry land and made the waters, created everything. You expect me not to care for 120,000 people in Nineveh, let alone cattle and animals. And that question mark is actually the end of the book of Jonah. We read almost all of the book of Jonah this morning. And it brings this really strong question to the people of God. Who are you willing to go to? It is somebody in the middle of their faith journey, Jonah, who has come to believe in the power, the love, and the grace of God for them, but has not yet come to believe that it might be bigger than that, or has not yet come to believe that it's not all about them. And so here we are. Here we are. A fundamental question for us is if we believe that God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, ever ready to relent and show mercy. If we believe that, how do we live it out? Where do we go? Who do we go to? Who are we willing to go to? This is the middle of a story of faith. It is not the end, because God is not willing to let Jonah stay there. God is not willing to let Jonah stay as a spoiled 40-year-old / 2-year-old who is so ready to just die My life is so bad, I should just die. God is moving Jonah all the way to Nineveh. 3 days and a fish, all the way to Nineveh. That Jonah may be moved beyond that. Jonah has grasped the character of God as far as it applies to Jonah and to the people of God. But Jonah doesn't really get that when you worship the one true and living God, this isn't how God just is to us. This is just how God is. For us, in this day and in this time, it is an appropriate question to ask. What do we believe about God's steadfast love and justice and mercy? What do we believe about who we are sent to? Back-to-back weeks, we have had stories where the prophets are not sent to the people of Israel. They are sent out to people who do not know the Lord, but people that the Lord knows. Elijah goes to a widow at Zarephath. Jonah goes to an entire city in Nineveh. Do we want them to meet the God represented by Jonah throwing a temper tantrum, or the God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love? When we go out, who do we go to? And is our faith in God deep enough to believe that what God feels towards us, God feels towards others? To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.